Scripture this morning will be from Mark 11, 27 through 33. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you authority to do this?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it of heaven or of human origin? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin," they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know."
Good morning. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." Jesus said, "Unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." Jesus said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." Jesus said, "If you love your parents more than me, you cannot be my disciple." Jesus said some pretty challenging things. Last week we talked about a case where we actually want to do what Jesus says to do, and it's a great thing. Today I want to talk about what if I don't like what Jesus says. And I got that from this account. I think in these days we're honest enough that we will say it, a lot of us, if we don't like what he says. But we need to be careful with how we say that, I think. And I think this account will give us some insight about what to do if we don't like what Jesus says. So what's going on here is a few weeks ago, as we study, and a few verses ago, as it's recorded here in Mark, Jesus showed up at the temple and he cleaned house. He went to their market that was located right there in the temple, turned the tables over, drove out the people that were selling sacrificial animals and the money changers and all of that. It was an enacted judgment on their religion. How many of you think they liked that? They did not like that. And that's what they're referring to in this account when Jesus again is walking in the temple courts and they say, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Referring to things like the cleansing of the temple. And they want to know by what authority he does it. Kind of like, what gives you the right? What gives you the right to do something like that? How many of you think they were looking for an answer? Pretty sure they weren't looking for an answer. But Jesus responds to them, and he doesn't go on the defensive. Instead, he asks them a counter question. And the counter question is about the baptism of John. Did that come from God, or did that come just kind of a human thing? And so they call an emergency meeting, discuss it a little bit, and they come back and say, "We don't know. We're not going to tell you." And Jesus says, "Well, I'm not going to tell you either." And you hear a story like that and you go, "Yeah, I like that." But there's more to it than just Jesus stifling them or muzzling them, as Matthew's account says. Because what Jesus does in this story is not only shuts them up, but he also raises the issue in them that they were questioning in him. The issue of authority. The issue of what basis they have for their decisions and their actions and their beliefs and their practices. And if you read the little discussion they have, you kind of get at what their basis was. Because the gist of their discussion is, well, we could say it comes from God, but then he'd ask us why we didn't believe it, and we're not going to look so good. But we could also say it was from man, but then the people are going to be all upset with us because they really think it came from God. And so we don't know. That's the safest answer. And it sure looks like the basis for their authority is what makes us look the best, or maybe what makes us look the least bad. And it's just amazing to me that that was the basis of their authority, at least on this occasion. And yet they're questioning him about the basis of his authority. I think they got put in their place. But more than that, Jesus also put his finger on the issue of what is the authority base for their lives. Now, I'm going to guess that most of us, when we hear something from Jesus that we don't like, don't get in his face, okay? And if you don't know that, I can recommend you not get in Jesus' face. That's not going to end well for us if we take that kind of approach. But I also think that maybe we challenge his authority in some less aggressive ways, some less direct ways, and may not even realize we are challenging his authority. Because when we read the Bible, or we hear Marvin preaching, or we hear a class, or somebody tells us something that's in the Bible, there are a number of cards that we play on different occasions. And some of the cards we play are cards that we really shouldn't play. For example, we sometimes play the ignore card. You know, you read something and it jumps out at you and you go, ugh, and we just keep reading, you know, because we don't want to hear that. Or somebody starts talking about something that we don't want to hear, and so we just tune out and ignoring it. Now, that may not seem as bad as what they did, but that's a subtle way of challenging Jesus' authority. If we are disciples of Jesus, we have named him as our teacher and our Lord and our master. And I'm pretty sure we're supposed to listen to our teacher, our Lord, and our master, and not ignore him. Other times we'll play the card of seeking out people who won't bring it up. I don't like it when they talk about that stuff at this church, so I'm going to go find me a different church where they don't talk about that. Or I don't like it when they talk about that in my small group, so I'm quitting this small group, and I'm going to go find me a small group that doesn't talk about that stuff. Or friends, whatever it is that bugs us. And I should go on and clarify, these cards, I read these in a book. I in no wise got these from looking at my own experience. Just thought I'd clarify that up front. If you don't know me very well, that's pretty much where I got most of them. Another card we have is, I'm a special case. I'll just confess, I played this card. I thought, you know, your situation and the difficulties you face and the role you're in and the pressure, you shouldn't have to deal with this teaching. You know, that's just going to be too much for you. You're a special case. You don't have to deal with that. I've actually told myself that. I convinced one person, me, but I'm pretty sure that's challenging Jesus' authority. How about the God understands card? Now, I hate to harsh your mellow, as we used to say, but if you are doing something you're not supposed to do, and you say, but God understands, you're deceiving yourself. You're projecting your desire on God. You're challenging his authority. Or sometimes we play the I'm only human card. And this is a good time to say there is some truth in some of these cards that we play. But we got to be real careful. and make sure that we're not playing them in a way that becomes an excuse not to listen to him. Yeah, we'll fail. We'll never measure up. And we can be forgiven, but we must never play a card with the attitude of, I'm only human. No big deal. Sometimes we play the, we have to be realistic card. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Be realistic. And it's a challenge to his authority. Are the, I gotta do what's right for me. Sometimes I hear that statement with such conviction that I get the impression that people think that's actually in the Bible. Actually, the Bible is pretty much the opposite about that. It's pretty much, I gotta deny myself and do what's best for others. And if we say that, we're challenging his authority. It's complicated. How many of you have a Facebook status of complicated? Anybody? I'll never forget the first time I heard this quote. It just kind of cut through to me. I think her name is Elaine St. James, but I'm not sure. But she wrote, maintaining a complicated life is a great way to avoid changing it. So you just kind of muddy the waters and you say, but there's this and then there's this and there's this. And I know that all these complicated things just muddy it all up. And that's a great way to avoid having to change. So we hear God's word and somebody says, we really ought to be able to do this. And we say, no, it's complicated. It's complicated. Well, you know, there are some things in the Bible that are kind of complicated. But again, there's a difference between wrestling with what Jesus says honestly and making it all complicated so we can get out of it. Criticize the human agents. We don't really feel good about criticizing Jesus, but we don't mind criticizing the human agents. I'll give you an example. Have you ever heard anybody say, you know, the Holy Spirit was a narrow-minded chauvinist? Ever heard that? I've heard that about some of the human agents. Haven't heard that about the Holy Spirit. And probably I ought to say that we're talking about the Word of Jesus, but also the Word inspired by the Spirit of Jesus. And need to be careful about criticizing the human agents. And then the big one, does this still apply today? I hear that a lot today. Does this still apply in our society? Well, truth to tell, some of it doesn't. You know, I am real sure the Old Testament sacrificial system does not apply to us. But again, we got to be real careful with what we do with that sort of thing. And our real concern is not whether the Bible is out of step with our culture, but whether our culture is out of step with the Bible. Now I know that we want to connect with our culture and we don't want to impose an old worn out culture on the Bible either. But in either case, culture is not the thing. The scripture is the thing. The concern I have about me and about what I hear is that sometimes we're like defense attorneys that just kind of chisel away at certain things in scripture, not really having a better view ourselves, but just trying to create reasonable doubt. So that if we create reasonable doubt, then I don't really have to pay attention to it. And I think it's a way of undermining the authority of Jesus. Again, I want to give the disclaimer, I'm not talking about that issue you think I am. Some of you are going, oh, I bet I know what he's talking. No, I'm not talking about an issue. I'm talking about a principle based on what I hear in Mark 11, okay? And so when you look at the story and you kind of look at ourselves, one of the take-homes is we don't get to challenge Jesus. Jesus gets to challenge us. We don't get to pass judgment on His Word. He gets to use His Word to pass judgment on our lives. We don't read the Scripture to question it, but to let it question us. Now, I know there are some things in Scripture that are hard to understand. And I know that we have some questions. And from what I can tell about Jesus, He doesn't reject honest questions. But He does reject hypocrisy. And He does reject those who just try to work around His Word and not listen to it. And I think we need to be careful about that. So, we put ourselves in the story. How would that turn out for us? If we are the ones who are challenging His authority, what would Jesus want to say to us? And if you just go by the story, I think He would want to ask us, what is the basis for our decisions? You know, we're questioning Him sometimes because we don't like what He says. I think He might want to question us and say, okay, what's your basis? How do you decide? How do you choose your beliefs? How do you make your decisions? How do you live your life? And I think for some of us, it could be the very same thing that it was for some of these folks. Whatever makes me look good. I don't want to look bad. I feel terrible when I look bad. So my number one authority basis is whatever makes me look the best. But I think for more of us, the basis is probably along the lines of what I like and what I want and what I feel and what I'm comfortable with and doing what's best for me. I think that is really, really important to us. In fact, there are some strong cultural and historical forces that are influencing us to think, I got to do what's right for me, best for me. And actually, we're going to talk about that on our Wednesday night Remember discussions. We're having some pretty good discussions in there about the way some of the things going on in our culture over the past couple of hundred years have influenced us and our understanding of religion. We're going to get to this one too. There's a strong cultural and historical and philosophical influence pushing us toward doing what I want, what I like, what I feel. Have you noticed that at church? Have you noticed that people like what they like? Have you been able to twist anybody's arm and get them to tell you what they prefer? Apparently, I'm the only one who's noticed that. But throughout society, people want what they want. And a lot of times, that becomes the basis for our decisions, the authority for our lives. And again, I'm real sure that's not the right basis. That's not the way to hear God's Word. In 2 Timothy 4, there's a little verse that I heard growing up. And the way I heard it is the Baptists and the Methodists really need to hear this verse. That's how I heard it. I never heard them say, we need to hear it. And I never heard them say, Marvin, you need to hear it. And I sure never heard them say, me, the preacher, needs to hear it. But my views on that have changed quite a bit. He starts off by talking about how, in verse 2, that we need to preach the Word. We really need God's Word. In fact, we need to let it rebuke us and encourage us. And then he tells the reason why. And the reason why in verse 3 is that the time will come when people will not put up with healthy teaching. Now, my translation says sound doctrine, but when I heard it preached, sound doctrine took on a life of its own. But the word sound just means healthy. And the word doctrine just means teachings. And we really do need healthy teaching. We need healthy ideas from God. And we need to know how to live a healthy life under God. We really need that. But the time will come when people won't put up with that. Instead, they suit their own desires. To suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Well, I don't know how the Methodists are on that, and I don't know how the Catholics are on that, but I know I have some trouble with that. I know a lot of times I don't want to hear what it says. And I've even worked a few of those things out and convinced myself that it doesn't say what it says. And I've actually had the terrible experience of explaining to someone else why the Bible doesn't really mean what it says. And right in the middle of that thought, you know, Marvin, you're telling them it doesn't say what it says. That's a horrible feeling. And I think that comes most especially from not wanting to hear what it says. Again, I want to clarify, yeah, there's some hard things. There's some things we need to wrestle with. And it doesn't necessarily say what we always thought it said either. But my point is that if our basis is what I like and what I want and what I'm comfortable with, I'm probably not going to hear what it says. In contrast to that, there's a wonderful little verse over in Psalm 40 where the psalmist had been through this ordeal and he'd been in a really bad way and he'd cried out to God for help and God had delivered him and he offered his thanks to God. And one of the things he says is, I desire to do your will, O God, your law is in my heart. I think that's a really good place to get to. It's where we really want to do whatever God says. And what we think and wish and feel is a reality, but it's not the highest reality. And that desire to do His will is really important in light of John 7:17. Where Jesus says, if anybody wants to do my Father's will, he will know of my teaching, whether it comes from the Father or I speak on my own accord. And so when you hear me say something at church or your R&B teacher says something or you hear something on the radio, if you really want to do what God says, you'll be able to figure out if that comes from God or not. And so what I'm suggesting is that we need to develop a desire to do God's will and set aside as best as we can what we like and what we want, what we feel, and what we're comfortable with, and try to hear what He says. God's truth is the correct basis for our lives. And we need to get to where we can just sit before Him by ourselves or with others. I like that picture of that account in Mark 3 where they come up to Jesus and say, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And He points to His disciples, those who were sitting there listening to Him, and says, these are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does God's will is my mother and my brothers. And I want to get to the point where I really want to do what He says, and then just sit there and listen. And if it's hard for me to hear, listen some more. And pray for my heart so that I can hear what God really says. And I'm under no delusion that that's easy to do. I've been I had something that happened, and it created all these feelings in me. And, they say feelings are neither right nor wrong. I guarantee you some of mine are wrong. They are wrong because they're not accurate, and they're wrong because they're not healthy. And somewhere in the midst of all of those feelings, the Word of God came to me. The Word that had already been implanted in me, and it kind of said, chill, don't react, don't let your anger cause you to sin. And I said, yeah, that's right, I want to hear that. And so I prayed about it, and then the feelings came back. And so I prayed about it, and then the feelings came back. And I'll let you know, it's been several days now. And I'm just saying, it's not always easy, but I think the right thing to do is to build our lives on the solid foundation of the words of Christ. But we're not even going to be able to hear those words if we evaluate them simply on whether we like them or not. Instead, we have to pray that God will open our hearts to where we want to do His will. And I hope I haven't made that sound too simple, because it's not, but I do think that's what we need. So this morning, if you want to talk to somebody or pray with somebody about that or about anything else going on in your life, we'll have some of our elders and their spouses at the back, and this is one of the times you can catch them. Let's stand and sing. Mm-hmm.